So the scripture does not leave us in doubt as to what is the nature of our vision of God. We shall see him. And that is an exciting prospect. We shall see him. Now, if that doesn't excite you, then there isn't very much in this world that's going to excite you. What excites you? To be able to drive a TR7? What excites you? I don't know, to fly a helicopter? For me, there is nothing more exciting than that prospect. We shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. We shall be like him because he will have fully transformed us. In this mortal flesh, with all its sin, I cannot see God and live. But on that day, we shall see God and live. So let us come speedily then to the consideration. How shall this glorious vision be ours? How will it be possible for you and for me to have a share in this glorious vision? Oh, what prospect to see God. What does pure in heart mean? What is it that has to happen to me? Well, we see from Scripture that by nature, man's heart is very far from pure. It is desperately wicked. It is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and following tells us exactly that. The heart is desperately wicked. Man is deceitful. He is even good at deceiving himself, never mind deceiving other people. How we know how to kid ourselves, we know how to fool ourselves, we manage to talk ourselves into all kinds of nonsense. Our hearts are deceitful. We must ever be on the guard for this deceitfulness of our hearts. So how shall we become from having a deceitfulness of heart to becoming pure in heart? The Lord Jesus tells us exactly the same thing in Mark chapter 7. Verses 21 and 22, he tells us there that out of the heart, out of the inner part of man, there comes forth every manner of sin and evil. Just read the whole long list for yourself there in Mark chapter 7, 21 onwards. It's a long and unsavory list of evil things that come out of the heart. So my condition being such, what prospect will I ever have of seeing God? The answer is none whatever. Left to myself, none whatever. So what's got to happen? What's got to happen is that God has to do something to my heart. He is going to have to perform a heart surgery on me. He is going to have to take out my old heart, which has already died of spiritual arteriosclerosis, and implant a new heart into me that is truly alive. He is going to have to do the heart transplant. And thanks be to God, when he does a heart transplant, my chances of survival are pretty good compared to those poor people who have heart transplants today and don't survive for very long. And when he lives for 6 months, it's declared to be a fantastic success. Well, presumably, if he hadn't got the transplant, he would have lived for 2 years. But having had the transplant, he could have the glory of living for 6 months. This, of course, is very interesting as a scientific experiment, but is as an art of prolonging man's life in this present age. That can hardly be described as too fantastic. Anyway, I shall not get into medical debates. I am talking about a spiritual heart transplant and the very good prospects on that subject. And so, how is my heart going to be cleansed? How does God change my heart? How does he give me a new heart? Oh, in this teaching is precisely there to be found already in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we are already told that God is going to give us a new heart. Ezekiel is particularly the prophet of the new heart. He says that several times. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 11, and verse 19, he speaks of having a new heart and a new spirit. He says this also in chapter 18 of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 18 and verse 31. And I shall read 18:31 to you because it is significant for our purpose. And this is what Ezekiel says: cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Now, I'd like you to notice a very interesting thing here, which has to do with how we get a new heart in a moment. It says, cast away from you your transgressions and get for yourself a new heart. God can give us a new heart, but we have to seek it. This aspect of God's gift and our desiring, hungering and thirsting for it is most important. But we shall return to this in a moment. But let us notice what we must do. How then does God change our heart or cleanse our heart? Well, there are three things we see in the New Testament relating to the cleansing of the heart. First, in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, we read that the blood of Christ cleanses our hearts or our consciences from sin. It is the blood of Christ that can cleanse our hearts. It is He who makes us clean and so gives us a new heart. The same thing is said in 1 John chapter 7, verse 9. That if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, secondly, we read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26 that He cleanses us also by the water of God's Word. The Word of God cleanses our hearts. John chapter 15 verse 3 says the same thing. The Lord Jesus says to His disciples, but you are clean by the word which I have spoken to you. And thirdly, we are told that the heart is cleansed on our part by means of faith. Acts chapter 15 and verse 9. Faith is that by which God cleanses our hearts. But we on our part must have faith. So you can change the imagery, but the imagery is the same. Either the image is speaking of cleaning the heart which is dirty, or changing the heart which has become hardened. Scripture uses different pictures to say the same thing. The pictures may be different, the message is the same. That in each case, a heart that is cleansed is as good as new, or a heart that has been changed is a new heart. Either way, it is the same thing. What then is the heart, actually? What is being changed, or what is being cleansed? In a sense, of course, we must realize the heart in Scripture is speaking about what Paul would speak of as the inner man, with all its emotions, its decisions, its capacity to think. The heart in Scripture simply is another way of speaking about man in his innermost self. Man as you really are, not what you just appear to be on the outside. It is what you really are on the inside. It is not what you show other people that you are. Maybe you're very charming in your outward behavior, very bad-tempered on the inside. Not many people are like this. They live a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of existence, a kind of spiritual schizophrenia. They are one thing inside and another thing outside. But the heart is what you are really in your inside, the inner man. That is the important thing to grasp. It is what you really think, not what you tell other people that you think. When people ask you what you're going to vote for on May the 20th, you say, I will vote we. But when the day comes, you vote no. You see, so one is for public consumption, the other is for the actual thing that you're going to do. What you think is not necessarily what you say. What you say is not necessarily what you think. So when Scripture speaks about the heart, it is speaking about what you are in your real self, what you really are. It is that which needs to be changed. The Bible and the Word of God is concerned to treat us at the deepest level of our problems, not to change some symptoms. Not to say, well, you got a pain here, so I'll give you aspirin, that'll help you relieve the pain. Well, that's okay. And the pain goes away here, and then it comes up over here. I say, it's rather like so much of surgery today. You remove the cancer from this point, and that's it, and it comes up even worse on another point. So you cut off this part, and it comes up in another place. It's like our trying to remove dandelion things nowadays. You know, you pull up the dandelion flower, and next time you have two dandelions there. You say, I pulled it up the other day. What happened? So you pull this thing up, and you cut a little bit deeper, and then you discover three dandelions. You say, this is impossible. And so this is symptomatic treatment. You deal with symptoms. But the Scripture goes to the root of the matter. God wants to deal with you at what you really are inside. Not that so you come to church, you have a beautiful smile, and look at this nice suit you got here, and you come in here with this beautiful Bible in genuine Morocco leather, costing $56 to buy. And you strut in with this, looks so beautiful on the outside. And what's in the inside? So when you get home, you're shouting at your wife, grab your brother by the throat, you make life miserable for your roommate, and then the real self begins to come out. The real self is there. God wants to deal with the heart. And so heart simply means the real self, the inner man. We see this, for example, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. In chapter 3, verse 16, Paul speaks about the inner man. And in verse 17, he talks about the heart, which is exactly the same thing, of course. It's simply the inner man. Man as he really is. That's what it is. And this is what the Lord Jesus comes. He must cleanse this inner man with his blood. Not with an outward garment of religion that you can put on and look more religious than you were before. Not that you can stick up a nice necklace with a cross hanging there, which makes you look even more religious. And if my tie doesn't look good, next time I will turn up with a clerical collar so that you can respect me for being clergyman. And if my clerical collar doesn't impress you of my sanctity, then I shall come with a proper preaching gown next time, a black one. And if my preaching gown still doesn't impress you and my collar still doesn't impress you that I am a minister and a clergyman, the next time I shall come with my collar, my gown, and my academic hood as well. By that time, I hope you're thoroughly impressed that I am a minister of the gospel. Now, if I have to impress people of being a Christian by these external means, then I have missed the whole point. If my sanctity depends upon the blackness of my gown that I wear for preaching, and if it's too black, then I put two white collars here, just to relieve the unrelieved gloom of blackness upon me, which I shall then call the Geneva collar. This is pitiful. This is pitiful. Today we have to preach and try to establish our religion by outward practices. When God wants to look on the inner man, God looks upon the heart. He wants to change man in the inside of him. And what is true for the clergy applies to the Christian. And I'm stressing this point because the purity of heart here is very, very practical. It is very practical. Because not only is this a purity in the heart, but it is a purity that will be seen in the life. Not seen simply in the way you wear your clothing and then you stick a little cross on your lapel. Well, I have no problem. If you like to stick a cross, go and stick a cross on your lapel. But that sticking of a cross does not make you more holy than anyone else. And because your Bible is in Morocco leather and mine is only in plastic cover, does not mean that therefore you are a better Christian. So, what then does purity of heart mean? Now we know what is the heart. We know how the heart becomes pure. We still have to ask precisely what does the purity of heart mean? Well, when we study the Scripture, we find that this again is rooted in the Old Testament. As we saw in Psalm 24, the cleanness of heart is extremely practical. I hope you read it very carefully. In case you didn't, I hope you look at it again. Because there it says, purity of heart, cleanness of hands, and truthfulness of speech. They are all of the same package. You cannot have one without the other. Purity of heart will be certainly manifested in the cleanness of hands. That is, you do not indulge in sinful acts, doing sinful things. And it will be expressed in the truthfulness of your speech. That what you say is true. That one does not have to guess now how much of that statement was true. How much of it was exaggeration? How much was jia yan jia zu? How much of it was salt and how much of it was vinegar? Quite literally translating what I said. How much of it is genuine? Now, if you come from the Hong Kong society, for sure you know that becomes a major problem of analysis. Because every sentence you have to take, you know, you have to take a big discount on every sentence. Because when you have made heavy discounts, maybe by the time you're finished with the analysis, maybe 20% of it is true and 80% is false. But that reflects the impurity of heart. Where the heart is pure, then your statements will be true. A man, when he says the word, you know that word is true. There is no messing around. His hands are clean. In other words, when the Lord Jesus speaks about a purity in heart, we must not make it so spiritual that it comes to mean absolutely nothing anymore. Because spirituality, and many times, and I stress this point, because when people say, oh, that's very spiritual, but very impractical, as though what is spiritual is never practical. That's incredible. Because in Scripture, the opposite is true. What is spiritual is practical. What is unspiritual is precisely what is airy-fairy and not practical, because it's not true. We must learn to change our thinking. When Scripture speaks of a thing as spiritual, when you say pure in heart, in that spiritual sense, it means that your change is extremely genuine. It means that what is pure is genuine. It is true. Because it's clean. And cleanliness must be expressed in every aspect of one's life. Even in the way I hope you dress. Some people think it's very holy to be very dirty. Because you prove that you don't care much about external things. You see. No, you just saying this. You preach just now that, I mean, it's the inside man that counts. And the outside man doesn't matter. So if I don't comb my hair, and it's okay. If I don't wash my hair and it is all standing up on end and all greasy, I'm very spiritual. It's important it's pure inside. And if I'm very rude, it doesn't matter. You see, rudeness is only external. In fact, I'm very kind inside. Now, this is the kind of thing we must not fool around with when expounding the Lord's Word. It says, pure in heart does not mean the outside doesn't really matter and how you behave doesn't matter. Because it's really in the heart. No, no, no. Pure in heart in Scripture means that it has a very definite and practical application. It means that you do wash your face, even though you're pure in heart. That not only your heart is clean, your face also is clean. That's what the Scripture means. It's so practical. It comes all up to your heart. That's why your hands are clean too. You saw that in Psalm 24? Clean hands. Okay, I do know that that means not committing sin. But it also means that you can wash your hands. I mean, quite literally. It is a witness for Christ. That Christians are careful even in the way they dress. Christianity is as practical as that. I am concerned about the appearance of every Christian worker. Because some Christian workers really can improve on their appearance. And whether you brush your shoes or not matters also. It matters too. Let your shoes also be clean when your heart is clean. And I have said in other things too. The practical aspect of every life. To go to a Christian home, one hopes to see that that Christian home is also clean. And not to say, well, spiritually, purity is inside the heart, so if my house looks like a garbage bin that has been overturned, well, it doesn't matter too much, because it's all in the heart, you see. I stress this point because so many Christians think, that spiritual is inward, so outward doesn't matter. And so we can go on from there to say that behavior also doesn't matter. And no wonder that there are some Christians and some pastors who are unbelievably rude. But if you challenge them on the rudeness of their behavior, they say, well, it's the purity of heart that counts. Well, I would like to see the purity of heart in Scripture seen in the way you behave, in the way you manifest yourself, in the way you conduct yourself. So it says, let your speech be true. And the Lord Jesus is going on to that in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your yes be yes, absolutely true. Oh yes, the Scripture is so practical. But not only in this passage. The Scripture speaks of this in many ways. That time and again we find that the cleanliness of heart finds expression in obedience to God. It is seen in the practical obedience of everyday living. It is as concrete and real as that. There is this term, perfect heart, in the Old Testament, used many times, perfection of heart. It is used, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 61, or 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 3, and many, many times in the Scriptures. And there you find, when you look at it, that it refers to a heart which is holy and totally committed to God, but because it is totally committed to God, it expresses itself in practical obedience. And so, for example, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, you read there that wholehearted, perfect-hearted obedience, the word perfect means whole, a complete heart, without any division. Being pure in heart means you love God with your whole heart, not with some part of it. And that is very important to understand. Very important. In 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 2, it is said of the king Amaziah that he did what was right in God's eyes, yet without a perfect heart. Very interesting. You can do what is right in God's eyes, and yet your heart is imperfect. Now, will a person like that see God? Not if we follow the Lord's teaching very carefully. He says, the pure in heart shall see God, the perfect in heart. Pure means perfect. It means no blemish, no imperfections in it. It means perfectly clean, no spots and soil. And that is why only a heart that is whole, totally committed to God, shall see God. But Amaziah, it said that he did what was right. Strange. He did what was right. Outwardly, he did everything right. But inwardly, his heart was not perfect with God. Not perfect. Now, this is very important. We must keep, therefore, the balance. It must be perfect inside, but find expression also on the outside. But it cannot only be on the outside. It must be perfect on the inside. Totally committed to God on the inside. Whole, perfect, means total. That's what it means. Total heart for God. That is how you become single in your eye, in your vision of God. Finally, it also means to be circumcised in heart. Romans chapter 2, verse 29 speaks of the circumcision of the heart. So does Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Circumcised of heart. What does circumcised of heart mean? It means removing of the flesh from the heart. What does removing of the flesh from the heart mean? It means pure in spiritual motive. What does pure in spiritual motive mean? It means very simply to be utterly obedient to God. Unreserved obedience to God. And obedience that is motivated by love for God. And so with that we must close. I trust now we understand then how we become pure in heart. We understand what is the heart. We understand what purity of heart is. Purity of heart is the doing of God's will and doing His will wholly and completely without reserve. Pray to God that learning by His grace to be transformed by His power and depending on His grace to do His will, you and I shall see God on that day, face to face. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.